Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. The Bills 30-10 winners over the New York Jets in week two. And going to be joined here by Zach Jones as we are hanging out with you leading up to Sunday Night Football. Bills dominant in this one defensively. Offensively, it kind of seemed, even though the Bills put up 30 points, it still seemed like one of those games where the Jets frustrated Buffalo a little bit. There's plenty of different things to look at here. 803-0550, the number to call, as, again, Bills still coasting their way to a win there. Zach, first of all, good evening to you. But second of all, the Bills, they have themselves a very solid game here. They coast for most of this one, in control the entire time. They have the lead, never look back, and it's a comfortable, relaxing win that gets them to 2-0.
Just really lifeless from the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of from the second quarter on. The first quarter, the Bills' passing attack looked rough. And to a certain extent, Allen was missing some throws, but also they were getting pressure pretty quickly, and they were able to do some things. But, man, for all the goodwill, for all the excitement the Jets' offense had against Pittsburgh, it was gone. And to be fair, it was gone kind of right away. Fields missed some throws. They're not really getting the run game going. Fields had some nice rushes today a little bit later. But then even Aaron Glenn going for the field goal, down 20, late in the second quarter when you're going to give the ball back to Allen, and then the Bills' offense will have a chance to then get the ball back immediately following a potential score to start the second half. They don't go for it on fourth down a few times, and it's such a lifeless performance by the Jets. And I know we've heard some people mention about the crowd noise as well, that the crowd noise at MetLife Stadium was pretty lackluster, especially for an NFL game and a divisional game. And, well, you know, to a certain extent, how exciting you maybe could have felt as a Jets fan, there just really wasn't too much worry for the Bills. There really, really wasn't. It was a fairly easy game for them. Was it pretty? Not really. No, again, the Bills' passing attack really didn't do much. The best pass actually may have been from Mitch Trubisky in his one of two throws on the day, but that one coming in quick spot duty with Allen getting his bloody nose checked. It's a gorgeous throw to Josh Palmer. Don't get me wrong.
It's a beautiful throw.
But they really just didn't need to do much. It was James Cook in the defense. And Cook, by the way, on that 44-yard touchdown. And I'm guilty of this, and I know there's many people we work with that are guilty of this, not really wanting to pay Cook. That's an exceptional run. I mean, that's an elite running back touchdown right there. 44 yards. Looks like there's simply no way he can score, and he makes do with what he has and just scampers into the end zone. It's beautiful to watch.
Puts two Jets in the spin cycle.
Yeah.
It was brilliant all the way through. It's one of those runs that you go, yeah, no, that's why the Bills wanted to get that contract done, and that's why they got the contract done for plays like that, because Cook does show that it is an opportunity anytime he touches a football that he is a home run threat. And it is not just the athleticism, it is the vision. How do you manage to find a way to weasel your way out of three defenders right nearby you like that? Well, you find your way and you use your vision to get out there, squeeze through the first would-be tackler, cut to the right, spin out the other two, and then you're gone using the speed the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It is brilliant. Now, you brought up Mitch Trubisky, and it's time to get an eye on the quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Yeah, Mitch Trubisky had to come into this game when it mattered, and he dropped a 32-yard dime over Sauce Gardner into the hands of Josh Palmer. It was probably the prettiest throw of the game, and it has more to do with the quality of defense being played and a little bit of the poor play that had overall affected both Josh Allen and Justin Fields on the other side. But Allen, only 14 of 25, 148 yards. He does have 59 yards rushing, including a 40-yard scamper on the first drive of the game that helps set up Buffalo to eventually punch it in. But other than that, Allen had a tough day and even made tougher because as Allen is on one of his rushing plays, he dives forward and a wayward hand makes it through his face mask.
Was your heart in your throat when that happened? Because I know for probably for a lot of people, the idea that he got right up, took his helmet off, and was just, I mean, it darted right for the sideline.
The fact he knew something was wrong, I'm not going to lie to you.
I was okay. I'm listening to the broadcast, so I got a little bit ahead of time for everybody else, so I wasn't as worried. But I knew for a lot of people, I'm like, ooh, this is probably not ideal. And of course, you know, you have Trubisky go in. We know how Bills fans feel about him at this point.
He's a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Very little trust.
I don't care who it is. You're not feeling good if Allen has to run off the field in what seems like a panicked amount of time that he is moving off the field, knowing that there is something very clearly wrong with him. And you're like, oh, great. Something's wrong here. I hope it's an equipment issue. Nope. Next thing you know, he's got doctors tending to his face.
Well, and
his
so on nose. That, there was this feeling, at least, again, I'm listening to the radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. There was kind of this unknown, like, is it his nose? Did he get poked in the eye? Like, what's going on there?
You don't know
Of course, it doesn't sound like it's going to be anything that's maybe, you know, season-ending or anything like that. But you're also like, oh, no. Like, we're in control of this game.
We're in control of this game, and now all of a sudden.
And you have your backup quarterback coming in. That's also how you give life to an opponent that, again, as I mentioned, looked fairly lifeless right away.
And yet.
And it didn't matter.
And yet, at the same time, that's also how you kill an opponent.
Yeah.
Because Mitch Trubisky dropped a ball in the bucket. And it turned into, no. This is just not your day, Jets, and we're showing you that because now the backup quarterback probably threw the best ball of the game, and it would stay the best pass of the game. It kind of is indicative of how this game was, which is nothing that you expected based on what you saw last week, and something that you and I have said repeatedly on the Extra Point Show all throughout this past week leading up to Sunday is that week one is both an oasis and yet a mirage. And it does seem like through here and other games, there is plenty of truth to that. I'm also likening it to painting a picture. Which one was the picture that you're just starting out with the pencils as a stencil and then have to redo the whole thing? And which ones are the pictures that are actually forming? And it does look like there are some things. In this Bills game, there's plenty of bizarro world compared to last week. You went away happy, healthy in this game in terms of a comfortable win.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy, we'll have to see. Josh Allen's face does look a little
rough. Also, Matt Milano, I think McDermott did mention he's a little dinged up. Maybe late third quarter he was taken out.
Yes.
I mean, there was maybe feelings of like, oh, are they starting to take starters out? I don't think he totally fit that parameter based on what McDermott said.
Yes. And then, so we don't know what's going to go on there. But in terms of the scoreboard, it was very much healthily a victory from start to finish for them compared to Baltimore, where it is drama laden. They are clawing and fighting their way back from the Ravens' second drive on.
Yeah.
And they are fighting for their lives up until quite literally the final second. The defense last week gets gashed for 40 points, has 238 yards rushing on them. I do believe it was in the 430 to 450. I don't have the exact number on the Ravens, what they allowed last week. But it was over 400 yards.
It was a lot, yeah.
This week, Mitchell Trubisky's completion was more yards than Justin Fields had the entire day. The defense dominates on all fronts, allowing a total of 154 yards. Less than half of what you allowed 1 week ago. If not for a garbage time touchdown by my drought breaker, our drought breaker, everybody's drought breaker, Tyrod Taylor, they might have allowed 3 points in this game.
I mean, it was trending that way. The Jets were very lifeless. We were comparing them a lot to the Ravens because there was the expectation they'd be basically a diet version of that team of they're going to want to run the ball. I heard a caller this morning on the pregame even mention, too, because you don't have that TJ Watt like player, maybe that's going to open up everything for the Jets.
Right.
Like they'll really be able to run their whole offense. That literally never materialized.
It not only never materialized, but you and I think formally have to offer up an apology here No, that was indeed the Temu brand Ravens. That was the dime store Ravens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was, you know what it was? Called the Diet Ravens? No, it was Diet Coke and Mentos exploding all over the Jets' face. Ravens.
Again, it's, you know, and this too, like the good vibes and feels, and this is from a Jets fan perspective,
yes.
But the good vibes and feels you had on Justin Fields, you mentioned it. One completion for Mitch Trubisky. It's not like it's a 60-yard pass. It was a 32-yard pass. Is more than Justin Fields had today off three completions and 11 attempts. He had a good running the ball, pretty darn good. Five carries, 49 yards. He had one almost 30-yard rush.
Right.
But a lot of that is you're kind of dead in the water. They're not really doing anything. It's just, again, like they got to feel – they made Fields feel pressure. The defense as a whole looked very good. I will tell you, though, what we're going to be talking about on this short week getting ready for Miami on Thursday, they got a player in Joey Bosa.
They do.
Knock on wood, if he can stay healthy. That's always been the perception of him the last few years is we know there's a player there. He just can't stay healthy. But Bosa – kind of single-handedly, a lot like Ed Oliver did last week, sort of just was dominating the game defensively. There are other players, don't get me wrong, but Bosa just so many times just was ending drives.
Bosa's a high variance player, it looks like. The highs are high and the lows can be low.
Yeah, he got cooked a few times.
He got cooked on another read option.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Jets employed that three drives too late. They started right. Running read option. By the time Buffalo had the game well in hand, it was like they started running it at like 20-3. And it's like, okay, too late. You did it too late. You could have tried to dominate a little bit more of the ground game with the read option, and you didn't. Breece Hall, 29 yards today. And I think Breece Hall is a good back. The Bills did a better job stopping everything, and it started with the linebackers. Milano and Bernard had a markedly better game. They made sure nothing got past the second level. Benford and White were doing a great job. You pointed it out. You texted it to me. They were sending corner blitzes on very timely moments. So Bobby Babich was in his bag today, calling a corner blitz at the right time so that they don't have to worry about dropping back. No, their responsibility is, yeah, you're blitzing, but you're also the edge player.
Yeah.
You're establishing the edge, but you're also getting in there to try to make the play.
Even Cole Bishop's sack, by the way, is a safety blitz.
Cole Bishop's is a safety. Yeah. Bobby Babich was in his bag today, especially because there started to be these little like mini questions of like, The fear bunker started showing up of like, oh no, is he Ken Dorsey on the defense? No. I mean, we can take at least a moment to relax on that.
Right, yeah. Let's not completely
but
we can take a moment and go, okay. Look, I fully expected kind of a high scoring game just
right.
Because of what week one was. Again, I thought the Jets would be able to do a little bit to what the Ravens did. And instead it was kind of par for the course of the last few years where even in the Meadowlands, which Josh Allen typically does not play very well in the Meadowlands.
Continued today.
It simply didn't matter. Even when the score was 23-3, it felt like it was 45-0. The Jets, this is the way I'm going to describe it, were lifeless. It felt like they were told on Thursday by a medium that, hey, guys, you're going to get blown out. I just show up to work, I guess, but like don't. It felt like they already knew the result. 3-4 days before, it was if you're a Jets fan, awful game. If you're a Bills fan, I'm sorry, it was a little boring. It was a win.
It was boring. It was a win, and it is 2-0. 803-0550 is the number to call as we can get a chance to get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to John in Batavia. John, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got for us?
Hey, thanks for the show. Not much to complain about when it comes to Bills. Maybe some things here and there, but overall, very happy with the win. I know it's the Jets, but I'm really happy to see the defense step up like that. But I guess those ones I do got to complain about is the officiating, it's the referees. They called two offside penalties on the offense. That's a defensive penalty. And then there was one play, I mean, there was the way third quarter where the Jets coach was complaining at the officials. It's like, it's the entirety of the game is being ruined by these officials. I mean, the Bills themselves, two thumbs up, can't really complain. But my God, the officiating is so bad.
John, thanks for the call. This game is not the one I would paint that at. You want a bad officiating day? Look at the Chiefs-Broncos game. Or Colts-Broncos game, excuse me. They got very aggressive with the Colts in terms of in the first half, there was a lot of defensive pass interference and holding on uncatchable footballs.
That's always a shame.
And one of the refs got in their fields and flagged Steichen for unsportsmanlike.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's
you want to talk
shame.
About a ref show? Not that's, this game. Yeah. It's Colts Broncos. So when you're lined up offsides, you're lined up offsides. The fact that there were two of them in one game is rare.
I thought we were going to be talking about the intentional groundings by Allen.
No, those are legitimate intentional groundings.
Did he have two today? Or
he had two.
More? Okay, it was just the two.
He had the two. One was the flip and the other was a failed screen. He throws it at the feet of Spencer Brown, who's not a receiver. those are intentional grounding. I don't know why anyone would need to argue it. It is... Those are intentional grounding. The rules are the rules. The ball did not make it to the line of scrimmage, nor was there a receiver nearby in the vicinity where the football landed. If you, even if you're out of the pocket, if you do not fill that other criteria, it's a flag. It's a flag. It is what it is. Also, Bills, stop trying to run screens. It's not working, baby. Please stop.
So on that, real quick, me and my cousin were texting each other yesterday. And so he's a Clemson fan. We're both watching the Tech and Clemson game in separate households. And we're both just like, I've had it with screen passes.
Yep.
I know they work, but in the moment, I can't stand them. The quarterback has to put it, right a perfect spot. If your guy has to reach for it, jump up, anything that's not a perfect spot, it's usually going to get blown up. I don't really like screen passes. However, when they work, boy, are they pretty.
They are pretty when they work.
When they work, it is just like, oh, that's
but you miss
baby.
One block. Yeah. You have a defense make a perfect read ahead of schedule. You have a defender in the face of the quarterback that has to change the trajectory of the throw, the arm angle.
It gets crushed fast.
It gets crushed fast. But also, I constantly see the Buffalo Bills on offense try to run screens, and they're not great. And I then see the Buffalo Bills on defense trying to defend screens, and they're also not great. What does a screenplay look like in practice? I've wondered this for years, genuinely. Is it because the offense is so poor at running them, despite having mobile offensive linemen, that they just can't get it done? But then the defense defends them, and it's like, okay, we got the best practice that we could, and it's not executed on the same level as other offenses.
Yeah.
So then the defense gets tested on them and bleeds when they have screen passes. You said it. Screens work when they work.
Yeah,
against the Bills' defense.
Yeah, when they work, it's awesome.
But against the Bills' defense, we see it almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the Bills try to run one, and it's like, it's just not there. It's not there. I don't understand why it's not there and how rarely they succeed on them. I'm not worried about it at that point anymore. Give it up. It's okay to let go. You move your offense just fine without them. We don't need them. It's okay to move on. Bills running screenplays is like going back to a toxic ex. You don't need them. Move on. And that's kind of where we're at with that. I've settled on that opinion with screenplays with the Bills, mostly because they irritate me on both sides of the football.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them results in an intentional grounding. Why? The Jets blew it up.
No.
Because the Bills they're not good at running them. I will never be able to explain why. I can't get in the science of it, but it is what it is. But at the end of the day, what is it? It's 2-0. It's another dominant win against a division foe. That's the story of the last 5 years. And it continues. That story continues. You have an opportunity now to continue it against a Dolphins team that is reeling at 0-2 with a quarterback that has been, quite frankly, bad through the first 2 weeks, giving up a lot of turnovers, and including, especially, a team that you have dominated over the last 5 years.
Derek, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, what their schedule looks like post-Baltimore. You play a Jets team that going into today, you could argue, at the time, it's going to be your toughest test till the bye.
Might have been your biggest threat.
And you whooped them. Again, lifeless. You mentioned Dolphins team.
They're dead man walking.
Bad. And yeah, Mike McDaniel's absolutely a dead man walking. Chris Greer might be as well. Then you get a Saints team at home who lost today to Mac Jones. And a 49ers team that is wounded to hell. Kyle Juszczyk left today as well. They have almost nobody. They beat the Saints. You then get a Patriots team who ultimately, they might be in the same spot as Miami where they're just...
They let Miami be in it until the last minute.
Yeah, I think they're ultimately very bereft of talent.
Yes.
Outside of maybe the quarterback and a few pieces on defense. We actually haven't even seen Christian Gonzalez play yet this year. He's been out both weeks. And then a Falcons team, who we'll see later tonight, Sunday Night Football, they're taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And it's just the world kind of feels like their oyster at this point. With you're seeing right now, and if you are not able to watch this game, with about 5:45 left in the third quarter, Philly's up on Kansas City 13-10. You already have the head-to-head matchup with Baltimore. You took the W there. If all of a sudden Kansas City falls to 0-2 this year, look, you're going to still have to look at teams like Denver. Baltimore's certainly not going away. The Chargers beat the Chiefs, right? Like, there are other teams, but it just feels like it is really opening up for the Bills. And today, you had a dominant defensive performance. Ed Oliver's not there. We, of course, have talked about the suspensions at nauseum. Taron Johnson doesn't play today. And you whooped them defensively.
Embarrassed them.
Yeah. And so, look, it's not perfect. And again, the Jets may ultimately be a bad team. But the sour taste you maybe had in your mouth from Baltimore is a little bit of mouthwash for you.
What did we say earlier this week, though, Zach? The Bills need to allow blank points or less to feel better about them. Bills hit that with flying colors. It makes you feel better. It gets the bitter taste out of your mouth. It gets you back to, okay, maybe it is just that the Ravens are a terrifying matchup. Please don't let us have to walk paths with them in the playoffs. And yet, at the same time, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Would I rather face the Chiefs than the Ravens at this point? I don't know. Depends on the day, you'll have to ask me. We'll cross that bridge, though, when we need to. I'll let future Derek answer that question. Present Derek does not need to worry about that question. Why? Because I can kick back, look at the Bills going to 2-0, and one of them being probably even the game of the year within week one. And they won the pseudo game of the year this time. That's something that the Bills don't often do.
No, it seems to be kind of their punishment for many of those great games. They don't get the win.
Yes.
And now you could argue, like, you know, two straight against the Ravens, they're getting those wins.
And now both of those teams, though, from last week, coast against inferior division opponents. So the both of them are once again able to reestablish themselves as the class of the AFC. And now you look at, hey, Cincinnati's all of a sudden 2-0, but that might not be as real as it could have been. Burrow's dealing with a foot injury.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how long he's out?
I think I saw a report that he's going to get an MRI. They want to see turf toe. That seems to be what it might be.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing too. The Bengals might be 2-0, but if he's out 5 weeks,
can you trust Jake Browning to keep getting it done for you?
Look, ultimately, he threw 3 picks today and they still won. I think it's more of an indictment on Jacksonville.
It is more of an indictment on Jacksonville. They are kind of a pretend contender sort of thing. It's honestly, the other teams you want to look out for are the winner tomorrow night between the Chargers and Raiders. Are the Raiders for real?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are. They did kind of, like, they were comfortably ahead against New England. Even though that game ultimately ends as a 7-point win, it did seem like Vegas had an opportunity really just to be in control the whole game.
Yeah.
And then there is also the Chargers. If the Chargers win that game, suddenly it's L.A. that's 2-0, the class of the East. Could they even be up 2 games on Kansas City? And we'll see what happens there. As we keep looking around the league, that's Brewing Around the League, brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. Don't forget that tomorrow on WGR, it's a playoff buff. No, boy, I read that should not be in the copy. Tomorrow on WGR, it's a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe break the game down in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live. Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Chopin Bulldog followed up at 3 o'clock featuring former Bills center Eric Wood at 4 on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio, 550. And then don't forget, though, later tonight, we have Westwood One presenting the Falcons at the Vikings Sunday Night Football on WGR, brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Come back on the other side. We'll look more around the league and see the stories that have been going on, as well as looking more into this Bills-Jets game, Buffalo 30, the Jets 10. This afternoon to move to 2-0. This is the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. You're listening to WGR.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes the handoff, rolling to his left is Fields. Has time, pressure coming from Epinesa. Now going to tuck it and run, and he's decked from behind. Ball is out, and the Bills have the football for the second straight week. Joey Bosa forces a fumble, and this time the Bills are all over it.
Joey Bosa forcing fumbles in two straight games.
Man, he has been a revelation for them. I saw a few people were tweeting at me today, you know, because I said, like, he's been a problem since getting here, really. Like, he's been great. He was great last week, outside of a few times where he really bit hard on read options. And then this week, same thing happened, but in terms of a pure pass rusher, he's been great for them. And a lot of people I saw, like, this is what the Bills, they wanted Vaughn to be. This is what Vaughn was for the first half of that first year. Credit to the Bills. Again, if Bosa's healthy, well played. Very good. This is, you know, bang up job so far. You know, you're still working in your rookies on the defensive line. You don't even have Ed Oliver and Bosa to really start to ramp up together. I'd have loved to have seen what today could have been if we don't have that Ed Oliver injury. So I think that's the thing, too. You're going to see those two start to ramp up working together. Could have been a blast to watch. I will say, though, real quick, should be noted, Zion Logue had himself a very good game as well. I think he had half a sack coming up from the practice squad. He had a QB hit as well, pass bat down. Coming up from the practice squad, and especially when it was between him and Jordan Phillips, well played by Zion Logue. Come in, make a few plays. Might have to do it again on Thursday, by the way. I think that's kind of the expectation, is that Oliver, because of the short week, won't be able to play. Nothing official, of course, but that's sort of the expectation.
Nothing gets you back like 10 days off, though.
That is absolutely true.
Well, in Oliver's case, it would be 2 weeks.
Yeah. But it was a really, really good performance by a number of defensive players for the Bills. I mentioned Cole Bishop as well, gets a sack. I didn't really think he was out of place. He had one bad penalty, the unsportsmanlike conduct. Outside of that, never really saw him out of place, out of position. I want to rewatch the game, don't get me wrong, but I didn't notice anything from him. Tre'Davious White and Christian Benford both having those big tackle for losses on run plays. We talked about it, the cornerback blitzes. It was a really, really good performance coming off of last week. You got to imagine, to a certain extent, when you have that many rushing yards against you and you're just getting just run over, and that's been a talking point for months, and then it was immediately following that game, there was a bit of pride to play here, especially when the Jets were probably going to want to do the exact same thing.
When you get hit in the mouth, it is a pride thing, and you want to turn around and make sure to tell people, no, that's not who we are. And Bosa, with a sack in this game, forces two fumbles, oddly enough, and they recover one of them. The Bills have four sacks as a team. It's not just the blitz of Cole Bishop. The defensive line gets in there. Daquan Jones has a sack. Rousseau and Logue split one. You're not messing around at that point.
No,
you want to make sure that you're making plays.
It was very, very good by the defensive line. And to be fair, the pass rush last week did look good. Not great, good.
He looked disciplined.
Yeah.
Bringing down Lamar Jackson is not an easy task. Justin Fields, if you make him have to read further, he will float into sacks.
Man, I'll tell you, though, like speaking of that, too, like Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, I'm so excited to see what they look like on Thursday. Short week, but you're going up against a guy in Tua, like the antithesis of what Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields are as quarterback.
Oh, yeah, you could tee off, and especially because the Miami Dolphins put a second offensive tackle uninjured reserve within less than a week.
Yeah.
And they let the Patriots run over them in terms of the defensive line. Tua takes a bad sack on a fourth down with the game on the line.
He took five today?
He took five overall. But also, the reason I say it's a bad sack, though, it's not really what I would call on Tua. He goes first read, and then he goes to look to his second read, and the defensive tackle hits a twist stunt, and he's already there.
Oh, boy. That's not ideal.
By the time that Tua gets to his second read, the Miami offensive line has already had the wet, leaky fart run down their pants. And Pat Mahomes just threw an interception in the end zone. And, oh, this might be going the – oh, that's a big tackle by a big tackle.
That's tough. It's in Kelsey's –
that was going six.
Yeah, it's in Kelsey's lap. I think there's a little bit – I think it's punched out a little bit here. I want to see the replay. But
– oh, Carter.
It's a great play.
Oh, that hits you in the hands, Travis Kelsey.
Kelsey with a terrible drop that leads to an interception. That's awful.
Yeah, that hits you right in the hands.
Not ideal.
You are one of the best tight ends to play, and credit to the Chiefs offensive line, because if he doesn't make that tackle, which that is that's, not going to tickle.
That's Josh Simmons right there. That's their rookie from Ohio State, who they're very excited for.
Well, his knee is okay.
It's very, very okay.
It's very okay. And, yeah, that's a tough one, but also, oh, man, you hate to see it. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I am staring at this game constantly. It's very early in the season, but this could play huge dividends to how the season is played out, especially with Baltimore and Kansas City playing each other, I believe, in week four.
And now we'll have a moment, though. We can go around the league real quick, get a score update here. And this update is brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. Chiefs, just throw that interception. They are trailing 13-10 to the Eagles, as that one is at the 12:56 mark in the fourth quarter. 11:25 left. The Colts have the football, but they are trailing the Broncos by five. It is 28-23 Denver right now there. Daniel Jones, by the way, making me eat a bunch of crow, and it's delicious.
I think Shane Steichen might be pretty good at this head coaching thing, honestly.
This crow is so tasty. 309 yards right now for Daniel Jones. Danny Dimes is kind of living up to the Indiana Jones nickname. He's got two different nicknames.
And good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
For a quarterback that's not very well established as a success, to have multiple nicknames and they're kind of positive, good for you. And then, meanwhile, 7 minutes, 16 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Hey, something cool happened when that happened during a Bills game. But the Cardinals all over the Panthers right now, 27-9. Everything that the Panthers did last year in the second half of the season has come relatively undone. Yeah. And it mostly looks like it's a roster that has a lot of work to do still, particularly defensively.
Yeah, the defense was arguably the worst. In most statistical categories, it was the worst. And it seems to be continuing today. The season.
Bryce Young's been fine. 25 of 35, 227, a touchdown, a pick in this game. And he also lost a fumble right away that gets returned for a touchdown. Oof. But that one's not his fault either. Like, he snaps the football and somebody's free. And it's not because they missed something. A blocker missed his block.
Not ideal.
So, Carolina, yeah, you have a lot of work to do with your roster. Good luck. Godspeed. It's pretty much, it's a shame that Carolina is not able to get things going here, but they at least have an opportunity to not score the least amount of points on the day. That is currently held by the Jets and, oddly enough, the Chiefs. Carolina does have 9 points. They are in the red zone right now. So they do hold the dubious honor at 9 points, but their next score passes the Jets, whose game was final. That tells you just how good the Bills' defense was today, by the way. If you're able to measure it across the league, the defense that allows the fewest points typically is the one that you're going to want to hold a little bit of, like, hold the flowers for a little bit, kind of give them the shout out. And right now, Carolina still has the least amount of points again, but they can get through some garbage time points to change that narrative. We'll see what happens there. But again, everything around the league, those are the three games going on right now. And in the next segment, in the next hour, I will want to talk a lot more about what the rest of the league could look like, because we will be getting closer to final scores at that point as well. I've got to say, I'm still very impressed overall with how the Bills were able to effectively flip the script, make things different, take a different angle on winning this game and kind of making it, like I said, a bizarro type win compared to week one. It was the opposite. Instead of throwing and scraping and clawing your way back, you are in control, able to run the football almost twice as much as you threw the football today. Very much in control. Does it help that Josh Allen got smacked in the face? No. But even then, there was a play indicative of how the day was going to go for the Jets when Mitch Trubisky has the best pass of the day.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of told you the whole story there. I'll say this, though. I really didn't know if the Bills would be able to win the way they did in this sense of the Jets' defense really did a very good job against the Steelers' run game. It had to be Rodgers and the passing game. You know, Calvin Austin had a very good game, and I assume that would be kind of the way the Bills have to win, is go back to the passing game, start it from there, and then go to the run game. That proved to not be true at all, and instead it is James Cook, you know, much better than he was against the Ravens and ultimately was terrible against them. He had a very big pass play in that game. Today, 21 for 132 and two touchdowns, and he has, I think, one of his more impressive rushing touchdowns of his career, where, again, it looked like there was nothing there for him. He gets 3-4 yards out of it. Okay, all right. Okay, and he's off, and he's just gone. You know, he's not this 4-2-40 guy, but, boy, in-game, he kind of has that feel. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's not slow. I think he ran like a 4-4-2 at the combine. It looks like at times, though, in the open field for him, that he is simply just faster than everybody else.
Yes. However, what it does look like when you try to put some pieces together over the last 2 weeks, that Jets-Steelers game might have more to say about the Steelers than the Jets. Why? Because the Jets' defense, at least through the air, frustrates Josh Allen. The Jets only allowed 53 rushing yards last week. Now you look at the Seahawks game and you go, yeah, it's because Pittsburgh employs a backfield of Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense now. Sam Darnold carves up the Pittsburgh secondary, much like how Justin Fields did. So maybe it was more about Pittsburgh, less about the Jets. And again, once we start stacking weeks together, pictures get painted. But for me, it does look like, no, the Jets weren't this scrappy team that could be interesting. It might be the Steelers have the highest paid defense, and it is doing jack squat for you. Oh, no. Shucks. I'll be darned.
Yeah, they're 1-1. It's not, you know, yeah. The rule's not falling. But you're right. Like, they have such a high paid defense. It is, I think, still the highest paid defense. No, it definitely is because they brought in Ramsey. It's the highest paid defense, and it hasn't done much for you. It really, you had some pop plays from Ramsey, and I didn't see anything really from the Seahawks game. I know Darnold had two picks, but, I mean, man, yeah, you had Darnold and Fields carve up your secondary. And today, Fields looked dreadful.
Fields was dreadful. It wasn't just that he looked at it. The numbers match it. It was all sorts of brutal there. Real quick, we get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Pat. Pat, how you doing? Welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hey, what's going on? Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm down here in Jets country, and, you know, it's painful looking at it because some of these people are my friends. My friend just sat out there in the 80-degree heat watching that. But I think that the Jets got all pumped up last weekend. They forgot. They were going against Aaron Rodgers, and then this week they had to go against a young man in the, you know, in the prime of his career, Josh Allen. So that was a big thing that I think people thought. They were looking at chops. There was one analyst down here picked the Jets, and I promptly wrote back to him, you know. But I think that was something that, you know, I think that was something a lot of people missed. They were going against a much younger guy, you know.
Pat, I appreciate the call. It wasn't the passing game, though. The Bills dominated on the ground, and it has to do with kind of the same thing what you're saying. It's just a different cast and a different style, which was, you know, you said the Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen thing. No, I say it's a Pittsburgh backfield of Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell compared to James Cook, a running back that did get paid a second contract with the team. And when you pay a running back a second contract, that usually means you mean business. That player is a good player.
especially for running backs to get a second contract with their same team, that means that you are one of the top 10 players at the position.
For me as well, too, I don't really know. I think fans got pumped up for this, watching their performance. And we were even somewhat, you know, susceptible to that as well, of watching Fields. And I tweeted out last week after his,
I was disappointed in them.
Yeah, like I was like, okay, like this is – maybe this is a team here. I don't really know if the team got themselves pumped up, though. I go back to this. From the word go, this felt incredibly lifeless. I don't really want to throw this around all that much, but I'll just say it here. I thought Aaron Glenn coached very cowardly today.
Timidly.
There was no real oomph or aggression of like, hey, we're dealing with Josh Allen on the other side of things. It felt at times he was happy to give the ball back to Allen and the Bills offense, who ultimately, you know, didn't have the greatest day in the world. They were solid. They did more than enough. They were fine. But it was, again, more the run game and a few timely plays here or there. It felt like the Jets wanted no part of today, and it was very jarring after last week's performance, especially they ultimately don't beat the Steelers. They were staring at 0-2 in the face today. You'd have thought they would come out with more fire, and it just didn't seem like that at all.
And not to mention, something that I noticed, the lack of aggression there too. Joe and I talked about this on Countdown to Kickoff earlier today, and it was how Aaron Glenn was aggressive against the Steelers last week. This week, yeah, the Jets go for it three times and they convert all three of them. That's with Taylor at the helm, down 30-3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of it. Actually, not even 30-3. Yeah, it is all 30-3. It's down 30-3 that you start going for it, and it's your backup quarterback that's in. Where was that aggression at the start of the game? Because you had probably needed it. And again, though, what kind of sets the tone, though, for the whole day? The Bills' defense does what it always does, Zach. A highly variable stat that they continue to consistently get numbers on. They recover another fumble. Mm-hmm. Instead of late, this time it's early.
Yep.
803-0550 is the number to call. As this is the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. Bills 30, Jets 10 in week 2. This is WGR.
The mindset that we have is, you know, never get too high, never get too low. Try to find the middle and understand that it's never as bad as you think, but it's never as good as you think. There's always things to improve on, and each and every week, that's all we're trying to do throughout practice. Now, a short week, we got to watch this one. Typically on Thursday night games, we don't really even watch this film. We let our coaches do that, and we got to turn our focus to our next opponent, and that's, you know, Miami Thursday night.
That's Josh Allen from the Locker Room, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you for the last hour, or the last part, excuse me, of hour number one of the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Don't forget, tonight at 8 o'clock, when we're done here with the Overtime Show, it is Westwood One presenting the Falcons and the Vikings. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and by Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Bills go away winning on this one, 30-10 against the New York Jets. It is a game that the Bills get the lead early. That lead just grows in size, and then it just is what it is. You're able to coast through the day. I am intrigued on a short week. Yeah, it's the Dolphins, but Josh Allen, have you gotten a picture of what his face looked like in the postgame presser?
Yeah, his nose is messed up.
How dare you touch my baby boy?
His nose looks a little messed up. I'm curious, too. I mean, Matt Milano, it sounded like he's a little dinged up. He left kind of before. I don't think the Bills PR ever released anything like injury designation for him. I think they just kind of took him out. Taron Johnson, of course, does not play tonight. You know, we'll see. Does that mean that we're kind of preparing for him to play Thursday, or is it more of a long-term thing? Trey White, you do get back today, played pretty well, and then all signs pointing to you won't have Ed Oliver back because of the short week. So even still, like, we really have not seen the Bills defense at full force. We probably won't hear for a little bit.
Yeah, and again, everyone would probably be most interested in what happens with Allen here, and The good news, though, is the Bills can win in multiple ways. This game proves that. Allen struggles a little bit, and James Cook goes away running happily on this one. And I'm surprised the Chiefs did not get the roughing the passer call there when Patrick Mahomes got hit.
No, I believe it's fourth down here. They're down 20-10. And again, I mean, the Chiefs' offense.
And Andy Reid is punting.
Yeah, has not looked good. And they're kind of in a spot, though. There is still enough time. I think they need to get at least some yards out of that third down to really go for it, to feel good about it, unless you're essentially saying the game is over if you don't get it. The Eagles, I will say, have not looked like a super team. Don't get me wrong.
No.
Through the first 2 weeks, they are still very, very good. It's just the Chiefs. People I thought were premature, I being one of them, in terms of announcing the dynasty might be dead, though if they start 0-2, again, they're not dead, and there will be a lot of people that will be betting them then to win the AFC of the Super Bowl because the number will look great. I know Sam Panionovich, who's a friend of the station, is going to be one of them. I will say, though, the Worthy injury, I know he was practicing. I don't really think it matters. I think that's more he's able to run with them. I don't think they're going to get him out there for at least another week or two. Rashi Rice is still suspended. And that defense looks old and tired.
It does. And, yeah, the Chiefs do look rather uninspiring. And we will talk more about that as well as the rest of the Around the League. And we'll be continuing to take your calls here. 803-0550 is the number to call. Don't forget, tomorrow on WGR, it is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank for What's Next. Get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break the game down in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 until noon, taking your calls. One Bills Live carries it on with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Chopin Bulldog followed up at 3 p.m., featuring former Bills center Eric Wood at 4. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Back to pass on 2nd and 15. Nowhere to go. Pressure coming. And Sanders misses him on the wrap-up, but the follow drags him down. Zion Lowe, welcome up from the practice squad. He's got the sack.
Zion Logue and Greg Rousseau ultimately splitting that sack there, a half a sack apiece. Part of the Bills' 4 sacks in total on defense en route to their 30-10 win over the New York Jets in Week 2. Derek Kramer here with you as we are back on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. It has been a bizarro game from 1 week ago when I was here at a much later time. Last time we did the overtime show, it was 1:30 in the morning. And it was a wild time because the Bills had a wild victory. This one, I still see the sun. I miss the sun. It's a great thing to see. Isn't that right, Tanner? But of course, the Bills coast on that one, as pretty as the sunset sky in terms of how the scoreboard looks on that one. The Bills did it much differently this week than they did a week before. The defense, there were questions about it. I would talk with Zach Jones, who was on with me in the last hour there, and the main question was, you need to allow X amount of points or fewer to feel better about the defense. And good news, the Bills allowed 10. And to the Jets starters, they allowed 3. It was the drought breaker, former Bills quarterback Tyrod Taylor, that ultimately throws for the only touchdown that the Jets would get on the afternoon in a frustrating performance for what looked like a potentially promising Jets team. It's good to see that the defense does still have its ability to just dominate and take over a game by themselves. Even if it's a bad team, you still need to be able to see it. Meanwhile, a team that, you know, the fear started becoming like, what if they become this year's version of the Bengals, for example? Nope. You can erase all concerns there because the Bills told a bad team that they were bad today, as they are typically commonly known to do. And the Jets, unfortunately, another cog in the machine known as the Bills' dominance within the AFC East. And again, they did it in a way that, as far
far away from where they were a week ago. And that's an easy way to bring up the eye on the quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Josh Allen did not have himself the best of days, coming 1 week after he becomes Offensive Player of the Week yet again. I don't think he's going to get named for it this time around. Allen has 148 yards on 14 of 25 passing. He is sacked one time. Allen also six carries, 59 yards, including a 40-yard scramble at the beginning of the game. Allen also, as we all know, raced to the sidelines because he got smacked in the face, and it was not just the face, in the nose in particular. The hand gets through the face mask. We'll see the severity of what happened with his nose, but at the very least, he went to the sideline for repairs. Mitch Trubisky did pop in for a moment, and what happened? The Bills just went, no, we're still throwing the football. It's third down. It's third and long. We need to see if we can do something. Mitch, try to make one throw. And Trubisky throws it to Josh Palmer over the shoulder of Sauce Gardner, of all people, kind of telling Jets fans, this is how your day is going to go. You're not going to have a lot of fun with that. And that was indicative of the afternoon. The Jets don't have themselves an easy time. Offensively, they struggle. Trubisky on one completion throws for more yards than Justin Fields, the starting quarterback, threw for all game. And he had 11 attempts to do so, 3 of 11, 27 yards. This was James Cook. Cook did not have himself the best of games last week. This is a hell of a way to bounce back. And Cook once again showing why the Bills paid him. Because that 44-yard touchdown is a thing of beauty and a sight to behold. Because Cook not only uses the athleticism, he uses the vision to squeak by one player. He then spins past the other two and then uses his speed the rest of the way down the field to get himself into the end zone. You love to see that. And Cook, 21 carries, 132 yards in those two touchdowns on the afternoon. Something I think a lot of us were excited about, though, was the potential of Keon Coleman stringing another good performance together. Sauce Gardner does end up trailing Coleman a decent amount on this game, and with good reason. Allen still throws it to Coleman when Gardner's on him. He catches all three targets his way. Game script, obviously. You're not throwing the football that much if you're kind of controlling the game through the ground, and that's exactly what the Bills did and decided to continue doing. If that offensive pass interference call isn't given, and I didn't love the call, I thought it was ticky-tack, Coleman puts together another good stat line. But alas, it's only three receptions for 26 yards. I do like the efficiency, though. You catch all three targets thrown your way. It's a good sign to me. That means that not only are you being trusted, you are also coming away with the football. The Bills did target the tight ends a lot in this game. Between Knox, Kincaid, and even Jackson Hawes, they throw it 12 times to the tight ends. Knox had a case of the dropsies. I was not a huge fan of Dawson Knox in the afternoon as a receiver. He has several drops on the day. You definitely want to see better from one of your primary tight ends, especially because he does have that contract extension. You want to make sure that you're making that play. Instead, you know, a couple drops from Knox. It's a little bit of an irritating day, a bit of a frustrating day. Hopefully those drops are not something that continue to happen there for Dawson Knox. I liked that they tried to get Elijah Moore the ball a couple times in this game, including the end around that gets him a touchdown. Elijah Moore actually gets two carries in this game for six total yards. He does have that four-yard touchdown on the end around, as mentioned. And also he shows up with a big play, a 31-yard reception. I do like that sometimes Sean McDermott understands the gravity of a situation and the Bills understand the gravity of a situation. That's what makes it fun, to understand that the Bills are just trying to get players rewarded for circumstances And my goodness, we have some drama and a little bit of controversy with the Indianapolis Colts and Denver Broncos, by the way. A game that the Colts, they missed the 60-yard field goal as time expires, but Denver gets called for a penalty and Indianapolis hits it on an untimed down to win the game. So the Colts, Daniel Jones, moving to 2-0, 29-28 on the Denver Broncos, who slink down to 1-1 on the season. Meanwhile, the other scores right now, the Cardinals up 27-22. Carolina's making this interesting. With a minute 52 left, Carolina has the ball at midfield, and they're down by five. And the Chiefs just scored a touchdown to make it 20-16 with 3 minutes left. These last two games are also getting interesting, and we will see what happens throughout the rest of, well, this segment, because these games will end by the time this segment is done. I would hope it's in 15 minutes. We could get overtimes. Who knows? Maybe I'll be wrong. Tanner, don't bookmark that. We'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Kevin in Buffalo. Kevin, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hey, what's going on, baby? Typical Bills football, baby. We came in, showed these dudes exactly who we were, told them, listen, this is what we're going to do to you. This is how we're going to do it. Don't even think you got a chance of winning this game. But what I really want to say is to all the Monday morning armchair GMs, the Jets, they put up 32 points last week. So what? They put it up against a weak team that got blew up by Seattle today. It's a short week. Let us get ready. We got Miami at home. Make some noise. And as Josh say, God bless and go Bills.
Thanks, Kevin. I love the energy there. And to your point, I think it says more about the Steelers than it does about the Jets. Because again, once you start putting a couple weeks together, you start to see the picture actually getting painted. For example, we all know that the Bills weren't going to be giving up 40 points a game. There was some worry that they wouldn't be the same type of defense where they can control games against inferior opponents. There was a little bit of the thought that creeps into the mind of people on that. They go ahead and prove that that's not the case. The Steelers, they lose to Seattle. They give up 34, seven of it's on one of the worst plays on special teams that you'll see. The kick returner has the ball bounce over him. He does not go back to go get it, and Seattle recovers it for a touchdown. That is that's a smooth brain play, and one that that might cost someone their job, honestly. You hate to see that part of it. Philadelphia, by the way, recovers the onside kick against Kansas City. So it is 20-17. Eagles, they have the football. Kansas City does not have timeouts. So if they can get themselves a first down, that will be the game. More than likely. But back to that call, though. Yeah, the Bills' defense got punched in the mouth. They respond against an inferior team, and this is what we're going to do to you. And you're not going to like it. You're not going to have fun. Mitch Trubisky is going to throw for more yards on one play than your offense does until the last drive of the fourth quarter when Tyrod Taylor takes over. And that's just typical Bills against AFC East opponents. And that's good. You want that. You want the Bills to be dominant against the division. And Saquon Barkley almost gets a first down on the first play of this drive after the onside kick. So the Chiefs, they need a stop. It's second and three. But Barkley getting 7 yards off tackle is not a good start for them as they're staring at 0-2 down the barrel of a gun right now. Who knows what happens? And that's another issue here. The Bills could be looking at being 2-0, seeing one of their most hated foes potentially being at 0-2. What is this? Did the Chiefs just go offsides? Did they mean to do it? If so, they lose the game.
You can't let Philadelphia get a first down. We'll see what that is. But the Chiefs are staring at potentially being 0-2 right now. And they did go offsides. That's not good for them. Oh, no. Hate to see it. The two-minute warning will stop the clock, but then it's pretty much going to turn into the same thing. Oh, Sirianni wants to decline it. Yeah, the Chiefs are trying to save clock right now by going offsides, and the Eagles are not playing that game. So it's second and one. Barkley gained 9 yards on that first play. The Chiefs, it's looking more increasingly like they might be looking at 0-2 here. The Ravens at 1-1, and you won the head-to-head, so you've got the two games up on them. Can you take advantage of this? The Bengals are at 2-0, but Burrow's hurt. The Chargers might be the only team that you can go ahead and look at and go, are they legitimate? But they've got to get past the Raiders. There's a winner between those two teams that ends up at 2-0 and atop the AFC West, along with Denver. Denver is now sitting there. Denver did not win. The Colts did. So you now need to see what happens there. The Chiefs, by the way, gave up the first down. Philly tush-pushes their way because, of course, that's how you end it, to the two-minute warning. So for Kansas City, it is going to be looking at 0-2 coming up for the Chiefs. You'll love to see that. And as we're looking at everything brewing around the league, it's brought to you by Thin Man Brewing Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. Tanner, if we could get a little bit of that NFL music here to go across the league, because while we've been updating the scores of the games that are going on right now, we have not looked at the entirety of the rest of the league and the scope of things. The Ravens, they stabilize. They win 41-17 over the Browns today. The Seahawks, 31-17 over the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers' defense looking mighty suspect despite being the highest-paid defense in the National Football League, giving up 32 points and 31 points in consecutive weeks. The 49ers, no Brock Purdy, no George Kittle. Kyle Juszczyk leaves this game. Juwan Jennings is banged up, so is Trent Williams. Thank goodness they were facing the Saints because they needed all of that from Mac Jones. Jennings powers through as a game-time decision. And the 49ers win 26-21 over the New Orleans Saints. The Rams go away winning against the Titans. It was shaky at first. It was 13-10 Tennessee at halftime. The Rams power their way through 33-19 against Tennessee. The Lions got their groove back after their week one debacle against the Packers. They blow out the Bears at 52-21, and it looks like the Bears just still cannot figure out getting a solid quarterback. Caleb Williams in this one, 19 of 30, 207 yards, two touchdowns. He does throw an interception. He also takes another four sacks. The Bears already now looking at problems there at 0-2. The Cowboys and Giants, that game was absolute cinema. Lead changes back and forth constantly late into the fourth quarter. It requires overtime. And then the Cowboys ultimately getting away with one here. Brandon Aubrey blasts a 64-yarder to force overtime and then is called upon in overtime to win the game 40-37 against the Giants. Russell Wilson had 450 yards and three touchdowns. Unreal work. He also throws, though, a crucial interception that allows the Cowboys to win the game in overtime. The Chiefs tush-push their way at the two-minute warning. They get the first down very cleanly here, and Kansas City is going to fall to 0-2. The Philadelphia Eagles will move to 2-0. There's one game still going on, and that's the Carolina Panthers. They have the ball at the 38-yard line of Arizona. They're trailing by 5. The last game to go over, though, the Bengals and Jaguars. Cincinnati, 31. Jacksonville, 27. Joe Burrow leaves this game with a foot injury, diagnosed more as a toe injury. Jake Browning steps in
21 of 32, 241 yards, two touchdowns. He throws three interceptions, and the Jaguars still don't find a way to win, by the way. Jake Browning does also add a rushing touchdown. Ja'Marr Chase was Ja'Marr Chase in this one. 14 receptions, 165 yards. And again, the Eagles, they are kneeling it out right now, as that one is going to be looking like the Chiefs go toward it. Why is Philly calling a timeout? That's just disrespectful to the viewers. Stop it. And then again, the last game going on right now is the Cardinals and the Panthers. It's 27-22. Arizona, it's 4th and 15. The Panthers have one last shot here to get things done. And if they can, it'd be a huge win for Carolina, as they were kind of really dragging their way through this game almost lifelessly. A frantic fourth quarter, they would have an opportunity here to steal a game that they have almost no business winning. And of course, the Bills, 30-10 winners over the New York Jets in this game. Everything about this is still going to be a bunch of madness. And continuing on that madness, tonight at 8 o'clock on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Falcons and the Vikings. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. And again, Philadelphia kneeling this one out. The Chiefs at 0-2. The Ravens at 1-1. The Bengals at 2-0, but how long will Joe Burrow be out? Josh Allen and the Bills at 2-0. Once again, amongst the class of the AFC, you've got Miami in 4 days. Miami is a team that is reeling. Miami is a team that is having a difficult time here. By the way, Bryce Young sacked on the last chance for the Panthers and their final hurrah there. So the last of the games have finished. The Eagles officially 20-17 over the Kansas City Chiefs. The Panthers 27-22. The Cardinals over Carolina. And again, tonight, Falcons and Vikings, the last game on the docket. But what's it look like now for the Bills? You have the winner of Monday night between the Chargers and Raiders that'll go to 2-0. The Bengals are 2-0. The Colts are 2-0. And the Bills are 2-0. Those are your division leaders. And if Buffalo can keep just doing what they do and continue to power through, especially with a weak start to their schedule, the Bills can finally somehow find themselves in the driver's seat of something that they have not had in the entirety of the Josh Allen, Sean McDermott era. And that is the one seed. And while a certain team in Kansas City has debunked what the one seed has meant ultimately, for several years now, it is the one method that the Bills haven't been able to try yet. You know the saying, insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, the Bills haven't had a chance to try anything different yet. They're winners in the East, either the two or the three seed, depending on the year. And they've never had a chance to have that bye week. This is an opportunity through the first 2 weeks to have that chance. This is an opportunity for the Bills to give themselves a different path and see if that does make the difference for them. Instead of getting out of the wild card round with a couple of injuries that you picked up in that game by kicking the teeth in of the Steelers every year or something, maybe the Bills actually have a chance to rest and recover and make sure that they can keep everything together. I'm excited simply because of the fact that there would be an opportunity to do something different.
Tomorrow on WGR, it is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe breaking the game down with you in the morning. Then the Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio takes your calls from 10 till noon. One Bills Live follows it up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at 12 o'clock. Shopin Bulldog right after that at 3 p.m. Former Bills center Eric Wood at 4 o'clock with Mike and Chris. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. When we come back, we'll look one more time into the Bills' win over the Jets, how everything got there. We'll play a couple highlights for you as well as Getting to the Locker Room featuring head coach Sean McDermott and quarterback Josh Allen in this last half hour of the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. This is WGR.
Here's the snap, end around, and it goes to Elijah Moore. Cuts it back, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown and throws the football into the stands. The former Jet scores on the team that drafted him with a 4-yard touchdown run on the end around. And the Bills have, for all intents and purposes, put this one to bed with 14:57 left on the clock.
Chris Brown on the call there as Elijah Moore caps off the scoring for the Bills. Not the scoring for the whole game, as the Bills would allow a touchdown from Tyrod Taylor, a touchdown pass to Jeremy Ruckert that makes it ultimately the 30-10 final. But it is, again, Elijah Moore scoring the last of the Bills' points in a 30-10 win over the New York Jets. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Bills winning 30-10 against the New York Jets in this one. And it was convincing from the start until the finish. The Jets had the ball. They had the ball first. They go 3-and-out. The Bills march down the field. They get a touchdown, and it's just the Bills in control the entire day. How dominant was this win for the Bills? Again, Mitch Trubisky has more yards on one pass than Justin Fields has until he's removed from the game due to injury. Trubisky has a 32-yard completion. Fields passes 3 of 11 for 27 total yards. Breece Hall had over 100 yards last week. The Bills said, no, not today. And Breece Hall isn't even the leading rusher on the team. It's Fields at 49 yards. Breece Hall has 10 carries for 29 yards. 1 week later. The Bills get 4 sacks on the day. Joey Bosa forces 2 fumbles. The Bills recover one of them. Greg Rousseau and Zion Logue split a sack. They have a half a sack apiece. Daquan Jones and Cole Bishop end up adding in on the sack totals there for Buffalo to get to the 4 total they end up with on the day. AJ Epenesa, by the way, recovering the fumble for the Bills. And yet, not everything was great. The offense was definitely flawed. Definitely in the passing game, the offensive line kind of got cooked a little bit in pass protection today. While they allow only 1 sack, Allen was pressured a lot in the day. He was running around a little bit. And it, again, is part of the bizarre world for this game. The O-line is a lot more under duress than what Baltimore was able to give them, but the run game stabilizes. Allen has no touchdowns in this game, but the defense dominates. And it kind of shows you how wacky and week-to-week the NFL can really be. Another example of that is Buffalo's opponent last week in the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore, like Buffalo, dominates their division rival in Cleveland. They blow out the Cleveland Browns today. But Derrick Henry has a grand total of 23 yards on the ground. After watching the man run for 169 and 2 touchdowns and kind of making it look very obvious that he is a mismatch to the Bills' defense, 1 week later against Cleveland,
He's a non-factor. And that is something that is not very common. The Jets, this week's opponent, they ring up the Steelers' defense for 32 points. That same group gets three until garbage time and Tyrod Taylor, the backup quarterback, scores a touchdown. As a matter of fact, the Bills allow the least amount of points in week two so far. Everybody else has scored more than 10. And again, seven of those points were garbage time. With three games left to go, the Bills might allow the least amount of points for the week, 1 week after they allow the second most. But now then you start to see things that get put together. The Bills go back to winning in balanced ways, different ways. Ho-hum, it's kind of the same old thing that you see from the Buffalo Bills. Joey Bosa forcing a fumble in the second straight game. So he has a knack for creating big plays on a defense that has a penchant for creating and getting turnovers. Can this team continue to string wins together? Well, look at their opponents. You're probably going to do so. Miami with Tua Tagovailoa. He has another turnover in this game against New England this week. Miami falls to 0-2. They are still a ship at sea without a rudder. They have a players-only meeting after week one. And now you lose another game. You're at 0-2. What's next for you? Buffalo. That might be a cruel and unusual punishment there for Miami. And that's saying something. Then the Bills get the Saints, a team that cannot beat a 49ers team battered and bruised by injury. And then it's New England, a roster that has kind of shown, despite the 1-1 record, they don't have enough pieces to consistently compete, especially with higher-end teams. Division games are tough. They're always going to be tough. They're always going to be a little bit of an annoyance. So you can't really guarantee anything there. But then it's the Falcons, then the bye week, then Carolina. There's a fairly realistic chance that the worst record the Bills show up with by the time they meet the Kansas City Chiefs, the worst record they could show up with is potentially 6-1. And it's very easily within the realm of possibility. Because even on an off day for the Bills offense, they score 30 points again. Last year, one of the top scoring offenses in the NFL transitions back over to being a top scoring offense in the NFL. Things are not surprising. The only team that's outscored them now within two games is Baltimore, because they go in the 40s in consecutive weeks. But now you look at, for example, the Jets' week one opponent, the Steelers. Oh, is Pittsburgh for real? Because they beat the Jets. Aaron Rodgers throws for four touchdowns. Rodgers gets frustrated by Seattle today. Throws two interceptions. He only has one touchdown pass. It's not the same. It's not the same cushy game that he has compared to week one. And the Steelers' defense, they allow 30 points for the second week in a row. Maybe there's more to paint about Pittsburgh. Cincinnati with Joe Burrow being injured. How long is he out for despite the fact that the Bengals are 2-0? And can Jake Browning keep them afloat until then? Well, for one afternoon, Browning does the job. He throws three interceptions, but Cincinnati gets the win. They are 2-0. But I'd imagine here in Buffalo, you're a little less afraid of what you're looking at in Cincinnati compared to years past. It's It's time to get ourselves to the locker room. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We're going to hear now from Josh Allen. He did have to deal with that injury to his nose, and he didn't have the greatest of performances, but we did get to hear from him on the podium, and we will do so here now from the locker room.
How we doing?
Good. How's the face?
We could breathe, so it's good.
What exactly happened? It was hard to tell.
Yeah, I pulled it when I probably should have handed it off. I tried to throw it, and I saw him push, decided to tuck it. I don't know what hit me. It was a knee, it was a hand, it was somebody. Helmet just kind of came down right on the bridge of my nose and just started leaking. So it's tough because you should go down there to give Mitch a chance to kind of catch his bearings to be able to come out there. Obviously, gushing blood. I just wanted to try to get off the field and stop it. And for him to come off the bench like that and no warm-up, no nothing, to be ready, I think that's a true embodiment of the character and the man that he is, coming in there and making a play on third down for us. That was a huge drive. It was a huge play. So, shout-out Mitch.
Have you had one of those before, a gusher like that? You've had a lot of injuries. Probably.
No. The last time was like high school basketball hitting the nose or something. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's still kind of going on me, but we'll be all right.
How impressive was it for the defense after last week's showing against Baltimore to, you know, almost pitch a shutout here today?
Yeah, I mean, I think they took it personal. They understand what type of defense they can be. They went out there and they played extremely well. And that's the standard that we're looking from them, and they understand that. But very proud of how those guys attacked the entire week of practice. Stepped up to the occasion. Now in a short week, we gotta do the same thing again on Thursday.
It just seemed like you definitely wanted to run the ball for you. You were leaning into it early. You wanted to run the ball for you. You were leaning into that pretty early with James. Just kind of tell us how you thought that all went.
Yeah, just trusting our guys up front. I thought James was doing a great job of, getting onto the second level. He had a heck of a game. And yeah, when something's not broke, don't fix it. And, we kept going back to it. And worked out pretty good for us.
Win dramatically the way you did last week, and then to follow that up with a road division win. What do you think you've learned about this team in these 2 weeks?
Well, that we're resilient. Went out there and learned from some mistakes that we had last week. Now, again, we're going to have to watch this film. There are some mistakes today that we need to clean up. But just proud of how our guys attacked the week. Could have easily led into everything that everybody was saying about us, and I'm sure it's all good right now, and easily could have put ourselves in that situation, but we don't ever want to do that. We want to continue to play the way that we play, practice the way that we practice, and ultimately go out there and execute each and every play.
Did you set a tone for the day with that opening drive?
Yeah, I mean, I think our defense and our special team set the tone for the day. I thought guys were flying around making some plays, and again, just finding ways to continue to move the ball, and found a way to score it today. And, they're still early on. We get the sack, fumble. Got to come away with six there and not three. So, again, a lot of things to clean up.
Was there a carryover from last week? You scored the last three drives in Baltimore. You scored the first four drives in this game. Or is it just each game is individual?
Each game's individual. Everything has got its own little flow. And ultimately, just trying to find out, what the defense is doing, finding out quickly what they're trying to do and adapt accordingly. But again, I thought we did a good job of that today, and proud of Joe for just going back to the run and letting James get back there and tilt the rock.
Josh, you mentioned people might be saying you guys are so great and all that, but your teammates always talk about needing a chip, like still each and every week playing with a chip. Why is that so important to the identity of this team, despite how talented this group is?
Yeah, I mean, I think the mindset that we have is, never get too high, never get too low. Try to find the middle and understand that, it's never as bad as you think, but it's never as good as you think. There's always things to improve on, and each and every week, that's all we're trying to do throughout practice. And now, short week, we got to watch this one. Typically on Thursday night games, we don't really even watch this film. We let our coaches do that, and we got to turn our focus to our next opponent, and that's, Miami Thursday night.
Even though you were gushing blood, as you said, you were back in there pretty quickly. How much has your durability and availability been at the core of who you are as a player in this league?
I take a lot of pride in it. Being able to withstand some of those things and never want to make a living out of it. But yeah, I mean, I take it. I take it with a lot of pride.
Thanks, guys.
That's Josh Allen from the locker room. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We heard from the quarterback, and in the next segment, we will hear from the coach as well. But don't forget that tonight, when we're done here on the overtime show at 8 p.m., Westwood One presents the Falcons and the Vikings. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and by Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. When we come back, we will go back to the locker room and we will hear from head coach Sean McDermott here on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. I'm Derek Kramer. This is WGR.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Last segment here of the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Don't forget that tomorrow on WGR, it is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break the game down in the morning. Then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 until noon. One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker from noon until 3. Schulten Bulldog follow it up at 3 p.m. Former Bills center Eric Wood joins Mike and Chris at 4 on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We promise you we'd get back to the locker room, and we will head to Sean McDermott. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
Try and say one more word for you guys. You know what you get, right? You guys are a ball player, man. All right, good win, never easy. That's a team that's obviously had a lot of momentum. We thought coming in here, and they played really hard last week, and almost pulled out that win, and probably should have won last week. So we felt like we were going to be in for it this weekend, and it was important for us to get off to a good start. I thought we did that in a complimentary way, scoring on offense, getting some three and outs early, a takeaway early, setting our offense up in a good field position. The drive after half, in terms of the time of possession in the third quarter was certainly in our favor. The line of scrimmage was important for us, and I credit the O-line, D-line, and really all 11 on both sides of the ball. Special teams made some big plays in kickoff coverage, Sam Franklin, obviously James Cook on the offensive side, big day. And I love Mitch, how Mitch came in there. Kind of like a little shift change in hockey or something, and Josh runs off the field. Mitch goes out. I think it was a third down play, second and a third down play perhaps, and throws a seed in there, throws a dime, and that's hard to do with no warm up. So credit Mitch for being ready. Again, the defense did some really good things. It was good to see them really disciplined, playing hard, playing relentless style of defense, taking the ball away, and being able to close the game out. Those are hard to do as well, and good to get Elijah a few touches here today and get him in the end zone. That was good to see. Happy for him. So with that, I'll open it up to you and your questions.
Coach, with the corrections you wanted to make on the defensive side, things looked pretty buttoned up defensively, like right from the jump. How would you kind of assess? Because you talked about assignments, communication going into this week. Do you feel like it looked buttoned up, at least on live view here before watching the film?
Yeah. Better understanding of the plan. Coaches led by Bobby did a great job putting a good plan together. Players executed. They spent time like they did last week, don't get me wrong. But they were really intentional this week about the details and making sure they understood where they were supposed to be and when they were supposed to be there. So that's got to be an every week thing. But I liked what I saw.
Feel they took it personal the way that things unfolded Sunday night and really wanted to, as much of a shoring things up execution wise, assert themselves from a mental side as well.
Well, they're competitors, so they take a lot of pride in their work, and it's important for them that they play well and help the team win, and they did last week as well in certain aspects of the game. This week, they got off to a faster start, which I thought was important, and that was the performance we expect to see right there.
Mitchell's pass. Describe the sideline reaction to Mitchell's pass in the game where you guys had, you know, a two possession lead or more almost the entire game. Would you even call that a turning point?
When Mitch came in?
Yeah.
Well, I never want to see Josh go out, one, but again, to have Mitch, veteran quarterback, come in, didn't blink, and the huddle didn't blink, their belief in him is extremely high. He came in and delivered. He executed, right, the way he's supposed to. And that takes him being ready to go, being prepared through the week. All these players, they're one snap away. We had some guys help us out on defense today that stepped up and knew their role, embraced the role, and got themselves ready to go. So the preparation piece, I guess is what I'm saying, is the key, right? And so anyway, just very grateful. Glory to God for another win.
That is head coach Sean McDermott from the locker room. Again, that's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. One last time for you, the Buffalo Bills, 30. The New York Jets, 10 in this one. And what is next for the Bills? Well, you don't have to wait too long. The Bills playing on Thursday Night Football against the Miami Dolphins at home. Four. Zach Jones, who was here with me in the first hour, for Tanner Saunders on the board here with you. I'm Derek Kramer. This has been the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Bills 30. Bills 30. Jets 10. Jeremy and Joe get it started for you once again at 6 a.m. right here on WGR.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.